Welcome back to Between the Bar Lines. I'm your host, Dr. Maeve Barry. Today, we are in our second-to-last episode of Season 3. We are going to be spending the next few minutes learning more about George Friedrich Handel. George Friedrich Handel was born in 1685 in Halle, Germany, the same year as J.S. Bach and Domenico Scarlatti, believe it or not. Though he was German by birth, Handel would become a thoroughly international composer. He trained in Italy, went to England, and became one of the first composers to achieve lasting fame across Europe. By his mid-20s, Handel was already impressing audiences in Italy with his operas and oratorios. He absorbed the dramatic flair of Italian music and brought it with him to London, where he'd eventually settle and even become a British citizen. In the early 1700s, opera was the hot new entertainment in London, and Handel was basically at the center of it all. He composed over 40 operas, including Rinaldo, Giulio Cesare, and Alcina. These weren't quiet affairs. There were costumes, elaborate scenery, and star singers brought in from Italy. Handel had a flair for writing dramatic arias that showcased the virtuosic talents of his singers while keeping audiences riveted to the drama on stage. These arias are something that we know now as da capo arias, so we haven't really had a chance to talk about form, but a few episodes ago I mentioned something called binary form. I might have also said something about ternary form or rounded binary form. These da capo arias were these three-part arias, in a sense. We have an A section, which was the bulk of the aria, and a B section, which was completely different from the A section, which ultimately had a sign at the end called the da capo sign that took you back to the beginning of the aria. As I mentioned, Handel was really cool, and he showed off the virtuosic talents of the singer. So much so that in the da capo, the repetition of this A section, we now call it an A prime section because the singer is to assume that they are supposed to ornament the original melodies. So what was already virtuosic has sometimes even become even more virtuosic. The oratorio is something else that Handel was very, very popular for. It was a kind of sacred opera without staging. Handel took the storytelling of the drama of opera and fused it with the religious or moral themes that we had in the church. These were typically performed in concert halls rather than theaters. His greatest oratorio is something we probably all have heard at least one thing from. Think about the Hallelujah Chorus. This is called Messiah. It was premiered in 1742 in Dublin, actually, and it was an instant success. It tells the story of Christ's life, death, and resurrection, but without characters or dialogue. It's all told through stunning choral writing, moving solo arias, and of course that famous Hallelujah Chorus that I mentioned. But Messiah was just the beginning. Handel composed over 25 oratorios, including Samson, Israel and Egypt, and Judas Maccabeus, just to name a few that are very important. Oratorios became his bread and butter later in life, and a uniquely English musical form thanks to his influence. Handel didn't just write for the stage. He also crafted grand instrumental works for royal occasions. For example, Water Music, which was written in 1717 for King George's barge party on the Thames. Imagine an orchestra floating down a river. That's kind of crazy. Or we can think about music for the Royal Fireworks, which was commissioned in 1749 to celebrate peace after the War of the Austrian Succession. These works helped cement Handel's image as a national treasure in England. By the end of his life, unfortunately, Handel was blind, but he was still composing and conducting. He died in 1759 and was buried in Westminster Abbey, a rare honor for a musician. His music, like many others, fell a little bit out of fashion after his death, but Messiah remained a staple. And by the 19th century, there was a full-blown Handel revival. His music's blend of grandeur, melody, and emotional depth still speaks to us today. In fact, lots of choirs around the world perform Messiah yearly. It's just a thing that people do. In our final episode, we're going to tie up loose ends a little bit and talk about the transition between the Baroque and classical period by talking about one composer from the Baroque period that we have not yet had a chance to conquer, and that is Antonio Vivaldi. Please join me next time on the next episode of Between the Bar Lines.